In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words, which in some churches are read after every single Eucharist, are read in our tradition on Christmas Day. Just the time that you would expect to hear something about a manger and shepherds and the Holy Mother Mary and Saint Joseph, we instead go all the way back to the beginning. And in so much as the human mind is able to comprehend it, before the beginning. Saint Hilary of Poitiers wrote once, "I will not endure to hear that Christ was born of Mary, unless I also hear, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." So there we go. And when we go, there like cattle finding the edge of the fence at the boundary of the pasture, we find ourselves just at the boundary of what we can understand. And that truly is the nature of Christmas. In our experience of this life of cause and effect, we follow all the effects back to their causes until there at the beginning, we must find the first cause, as Aristotle named him, the unmoved mover. It is here that we have to stop. We stop when we learn about the Logos. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word. And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. Full stop. What in your experience of this life can you have known that was with something, as in separate from it, but at the same time was also that thing? Here at Christmas, we arrive at the boundary of space. But as soon as you're okay with a boundary of physical space, you also approach the boundary of time. In the beginning, the Word was, as in was already there. St. Chrysostom says, like ships setting out to sea when ports drift away from view, St. John takes us to the skies of the beginning. Was exceeds the mind's imagination, looking intently onward, but being unable to fix its gaze, the mind becomes wearied and turns back to things below. Indeed, this expression, was in the beginning, is expressive of eternal and infinite being. The Logos was with God, separate, and yet was God, the same in essence. The Logos existed before there was time, and therefore outside of time. And as if that was not enough, what's more is that all things were made by the Logos, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so in these few short sentences, we learn of this Logos transcending space, transcending the boundary of time. And now we learn that everything that is and everything that was and everything that will be are all created by him. Everything we have ever known is created, and here is the Creator. What we learn in these few verses is that there is a definite, definable, and yet incomprehensible barrier between us and him, between Creator and creature, between timeless and time-bound, between universal and particular. All these things, as incomprehensible as they are, have been felt out by the most brilliant human beings throughout the centuries and millennia of human existence. And it is here that the expression of awe and worship arises most readily from us, as a gift that we have been sheltering until the right moment should come about, approaching the ultimate, approaching that which passes all understanding, we open our hearts to worship. But we are not yet here Christians. The notion of God is woven into us, and we cannot help but seek answers to our origin, the origin of all things, but that does not make us Christians. And this is not yet a cause for the feast of Christmas. It is what is said next that makes us Christians. St. John continues, "And the Logos, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth." Now that is Christmas. This is a Christmas truth that marks you. Here we are given the power to become the sons of God. Here is where we are invited to step beyond that boundary that we have just found. Because here and in Christ, we are invited to dwell in God as he dwells in us. Here we may become Christians. In our creed, there's a moment when those who are able ought to genuflect. You notice we do not genuflect when we mention the Father. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, though we absolutely could. We could lay prostrate at that point. We also do not genuflect when we reference the Holy Spirit, although we could, and we could lay prostrate there too, quite rightly. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life. We genuflect at the mention of the Incarnation, when the second person of the Trinity, the Logos, did not simply nod in our direction, but who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man. This genuflection in the Creed is our recognition that that action of God in taking on our flesh is one in which he became our Lord in a manner different than the Father and the Holy Ghost. He humbled himself for our sake. He became one of us. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. We genuflect as the shepherds genuflected. We genuflect as one day the wise men would genuflect, because here is King of all kings. Here is Lord of all lords, and here is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Here, heaven and nature sing together, and you are brought within the veil, and you become no longer an observer, but a participant. On the day of the Annunciation, when St. Mary acquiesced to the will of God, her response to him was genuflection. On the day of the birth of Christ the King, those who came near had the same response, to bend the knee. When the wise men drew near much later, their response was the same. And we who have gathered on this great feast of the church calendar acknowledge that the kingdom of God is at hand, that the King, from beyond our ability to comprehend, has come, and we must in body and in soul genuflect as well. Let us genuflect before Jesus Christ our Lord, the Logos, the second person of the Trinity, and let us not only celebrate but participate in the feast of the Incarnation, in Christmas, God made man manifest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.